All right, folks, welcome to episode 13 of the SFL Drifters podcast. I'm your host, Captain Ben, and this time joining me, as last time, Mike Acosta.
Hello, hello, hello.
And our special guest for this time around is the one and the only world-famous Chris Jackson.
Hello, everybody. Welcome, listeners.
Yes, indeed. Thank you, Jackson, for joining us. First and foremost...
Thanks for having me.
Okay. First off,
I would like to say I'm honored to be on this podcast.
Okay.
Because this is the second Skype podcast, so I don't have to actually crash camp this time. I can do it from my home. So
exactly.
Thank you.
I just noticed now this is podcast number 13 and Jackson's in it.
What are you trying to say? There's a correlation between the number 13 and Jackson?
I think so.
I don't think that's a positive thing to say, considering how Chris Jackson is now a up-and-coming rising pop star.
Oh, that's right. That Facebook default picture is pretty fucking nice, Jackson.
Hey, thank you very much, sir. We try.
Well, why don't you talk to us a little bit about yourself, Jackson, what you've been up to, and tell us about that photo shoot of yours that you just were telling us about.
Well, pretty much I've been working on all the pretty much track situations now that if you listen to the last episode, me and Ben pretty much took over that whole deal. So we've been working towards that and dealing with the county line. Also been dealing with Palm Beach International a lot. So we're trying to get that event on the 14th with Bisbee going. And then, the photo shoot was just pretty much I've had the Sylvia for a long time. If you don't know, it's a right-hand drive Sylvia case. And it was really, really crappy. And it got really bad from all the speed bumps and all the crap. So I finally I stopped driving it for, 6-7 months just because the bumpers were cracked and the paint was chipped because I blew out a tire and I got mad. So I painted it. And then a buddy, Co, he's a co-tography from Instagram. He's pretty Instagram famous. We went over to Miami Art District and did a couple shoots and he spruced me up in a suit. It's my own suit, but he told me to wear it. And, he took really high quality video or pictures and, came out good, and I don't have any good pictures of myself because I'm usually just photobombing pictures. I don't like direct pictures, so came out good. So I put it on Facebook, and now I'm coming for Justin Bieber, pretty much.
I have to ask: do you carry the suit around with you at all times?
No, never actually. It usually just stays in my closet.
Oh, okay.
I actually outgrew my other suit because I used to be a little fatter than I am now, so I actually lost some weight. Had a suit. We had a gala, which I don't know if people know about. We went to U.S. Drift Circuit donated a prize pack to the Florida Panthers to do something to do with kids. I think it was like some kid cancer foundation or something. I don't really know, but we donated a prize pack and it went out for a silent auction. And I think we raised $525 for that foundation.
Oh my.
So we had to go and we did some stuff with them, and I had to buy a suit for that. So I went out and bought a suit. And
did you have a set goal for that?
No, but we actually did pretty good. There was like people giving away like a 10-minute tanning session, like stupid shit. And like that's actually cool. Ours had, I think, about 5 or 6 bids on it. So ours is actually one of the more popular ones.
Nice.
Throughout the whole auction. And, we actually got some more money out of like the Panther players, like signed memorabilia and stuff. But no one knows the Panther players anyway. They were all there and I had no idea who these guys were. So I was like, that's quite hockey. That's always special. And actually, I got Ed Morse's box for one night, so we chilled in his box and like, we got like, VIP treatment, I guess. And the best part of the whole game was like they're in between second and third, they do like a halftime show, and they literally they slingshot kids across the ice on like garbage pail lids, and it's more entertaining than the whole game. Like one kid just face planted like right off the bat, so it was hilarious. But yeah, so we did that, and then that's where the Sylvia came from and all that, and. I went way off topic, but
you didn't go off topic. You're I asked you what you've been up to, and obviously you've been
quite busy. Between the shop, we're always doing cars, and got a lot of stuff going on with the shop, so that keeps me busy and keeping the tracks and all that running.
Talking about the shop,
I've also started driving a lot more than I used to. Since I stopped doing the last Sun Life event, I actually got my own car and got to go around the track a couple times,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Which has been fun.
Well, let's let's backtrack a little bit to the shop, because I'm quite curious. Is there anything in particular that you're currently working on? Because obviously we've heard stories of interesting projects paying a visit to the Chris Jackson performance shop. And
we have some projects that we can't discuss because some customers don't want to know what's going on with their vehicles, or you know, who does the work to their vehicles, or actually we get subcontracted out by other shops and stuff too sometimes that we don't, you know, that they ask us not to, you know, do anything social media or anything, say anything involved with it. But we do have a cool ARC-7 FC3S project we're doing with the 1J. We can discuss that one. It's just a single turret, a little drift missile. We got an RB2240 out the door today. You know, the car just came in around like crap and sitting. It's probably a lot better now.
Is that FC a shop project or a customer car?
No, it's a customer's car.
Oh, okay.
We have way more than enough shop projects between like the Hatchable and my race car, and Mitch's race car, and Brandon's race car, and you know, the other 13 cars that I have.
Speaking of the Hatchable, how's that thing coming out?
That thing, we actually we sold the motor out of it to one of my friends, and then the plan is to go 1J later on down the road, but I don't know. I want a 2J and my Z first, so I don't know what we're doing. And I also have the 1J S14 that really just needs like some hose clamps and it's ready to go. And I've just been putting it off because we're so busy.
I heard that you bought a. I've seen your Z, and you got that shit for like a stupid fucking deal.
It was stupid cheap, and it's stupid janky. But I mean, it's got low miles. It's got AC, so it's better than driving around like the beater S13s with no AC around.
That works.
I got to have AC. I'm really picky. In Florida, it's hot. I have to have AC. I would want it.
Indeed. So you're saying that you've been driving a lot more lately. So what have you been driving?
I did a couple CFRC events. I did like two or three CFRC events. I did the Black Friday. I did the Frankenslide. And I did a skid pad off of Black Friday. We actually we had me and Alec McEwen's car in the trailer, and then we were coming home, and then it just so happened to be a good enough time for us to just say, let's drive an extra, you know, 45 minutes and go to Skyline Skid Pad. So we went to the skid pad and drove that a little bit. I think I did 1K account of that event. I did one, and then I did the finals, so that was cool.
Yeah.
Then you know, it's just fun to get driving again. It just you know, I put the Wise Fab on. The Wise Fab's been a big hit, and the crab walk is just incredible.
You can start crab walking now in the Hatchable.
Yeah, like drifting's not even the fun part. Just like we should have crab walk competitions if everybody could do it. The crab walk is way more fun than drifting. It seems like the car just like you get full lock and it just goes in reverse. It throws itself in reverse, and it's insane amount of anal. Like it's crazy anal, but.
Crazy anal.
But, yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun. I slid the Z a little bit with you actually, Ben, when we did that that little day with Harry. You know, Harry and Voss.
Well, actually, talk to us a little bit about that event, because that just happened out of nowhere. You put up something, and next thing you know, everyone's like, oh, how come you didn't invite me?
Yeah, okay, everybody doesn't understand, like, it's a private day. Pretty much, Harry from Turtec on West Palm Beach. He's been in the drifting scene forever, and he's opinionated, I guess you could say. Like, he has very strong opinions, and it's awesome. It's either you love him or you hate him, and, you know, Harry, you know, we're still good friends, you know, I love Harry, so... He called me. He said he has to test out some cars. He was having some minor problems with his car, and then he did an angle mod to JJ Nyko's car. So you know, Voss, I think, just wanted to drive his car because it's been on the forum for 2 years and never driven it. So yeah. They all brought it down, and you know, we just had a private day. And then I have to hear, well, where's my invite? So like, you know, Wikipedia or dictionary.com, like what private means. I don't think they understand this.
What? Well, it really wasn't so private once you uploaded the that video.
Well, it was a private day, but I mean, like, we can still upload it. I mean, you know.
All right.
It's a private day for us. I mean, we can still tell we did. I still, you know, just like telling people what you do in your private time, I guess. It's kind of weird, you know. I guess so, that's a bad example.
Yeah. So does this mean that the Z is going to be your competition car?
Oh, no, 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 no. We'll not do that. No, actually, I have a body kit going on, and I got like an eight-piece body kit going on it, and I got some nice wheels coming, and I got like some cool stuff going on with that. I just want to have like a nice, clean, like daily driver, like that looks drift-like, you know, just to promote the whole U.S. drift circuit stuff.
Mm-hmm.
You know, try to keep it nice instead of like all my cars turning to shit really quick.
Well, so, that's because you like to beat on them.
Yeah, I take so much enjoyment. Like the Hatchable, I think I like the Hatchable more than I like my real race car, just because it was so awesome to put in the walls. Like,
I was so awesome to flip it and drive it again.
That misconception. That was Tyson Raw's car.
Oh.
They all wanted to flip my car so bad because like we were both have the two missiles. So you know, they're like flip it over and drive it again, and you know, Donnie from CFRC was awesome. He's just like, you know, whatever, as long as you guys sign the waiver, you can pretty much do whatever you want. So I can't even explain how reckless that night was. That was, I mean, I drifted through a bonfire with KP like hanging onto the roll cage.
wait. I have to ask, was any of you guys wearing a helmet?
Oh, man. A beer helmet, yes.
I've heard rumors that Kevin Phillips was screaming America off the top of his lungs while he was running along with your car as you go after the bonfire.
I wouldn't doubt it.
But
then Dayron was going through it too. You know, Dayron took his missile through it like probably three or four times. Like once he went, it was the biggest cloud of fire I've ever seen in my life. Like people should have been dead. It's amazing no one died.
Oh, my God.
That's pretty bad.
Yeah, I woke up the next morning. Like, everybody was having fun. I woke up the next morning, like, came out of my truck because we kind of slept there. We only got, like, 2 hours of sleep. And there was just, like, three or four people passed out, like, behind my trailer on the floor. Like, empty bottles all around them. It was,
like, oh, my God.
It was great. It's like keep drifting fun to the max right there. That's what it's all about.
Yeah.
Man, just have a lot of fun. Don't even care about the competitions, and that's it.
Yeah, no, the competitions are fun, but the practice days I think are more fun. You know,
they're always a lot funner.
When you get the better drivers in, you know, I'm not saying the Kent County Line guys are bad. I'm just saying they're not to the same quality as Marvis. But when you have an exciting like top eight or top 16. It's actually enjoyable for, like, the spectator or anybody for that matter. When you're doing, like, you know, a really amateur-level competition, then it's not as fun to watch.
Yeah.
So,
well, it does get exciting
what's going on with all, like, the professional series and all that and all the stuff you hear and, you know, it's just – I don't know. I'm not into all that. I could care less. They can do whatever they want as far as I'm concerned.
Yeah, I've actually heard some pretty negative things about some of the professional series that I honestly don't want to get into, and also just want to apologize. I got a bad case of the hiccups, and that's why you hear me just like every once in a while.
You gotta stop drinking, man.
Well, I've been drinking water, but I don't know. Maybe Jackson can provide the fix.
You drink a beer. Look up and drink a beer.
Chris Jackson's world famous elixir.
Chug, yeah, it's like 50% gear oil, 50% beer.
Yeah. Delicious. Valvoline.
Valvoline? That's funny. Instead of Maybelline, Valvoline. and Jackson's doing the commercials for them.
Yeah, and did you see the cover picture? Go look at his Facebook default picture.
Oh, boy. That's just insane. Why don't we switch gears and talk a little bit about Canyon 9 Dragway, and now that you've sort of taken over the mantle of from Tim Murphy's hands, and I guess you're now the authority to talk to in regards to the events that occur in the Canyon 9, maybe you could share with us some details regarding what's happening over there, because obviously obviously a lot of people are sort of very curious to know as to what's going to happen next with Canyon 9.
Well, things are in the works from what I've heard that we're trying to do the track thing. So, you know, everybody already knows, so might as well tell them we're trying to get another track going and have an actual motorsports park in South Florida. So that's in the works right now. We're going to keep playing out Catalina as long as we can. I want to do an event the day after Formula Drift Homestead, you know, and try to have just a fun practice and try to get some of the FD guys to come down and stuff. So I've talked to a couple drivers that say that they're allowed to drive whatever event they want, you know, whatever you guys thought, like that they have to get permission. They don't have to get permission. They just like to know so they can, I guess, know about it or do whatever they need to know. But they don't have to, you know, be allowed to do it. They can do whatever they want. So I think it'd be nice if we still have Catalina them to do like a nice big event and like get one last good event out of Catalina, you know. But the skid pads are still fun, you know. Still all the beginners out there, you know. Skid pads will be the best place for you to come learn, and we want to keep it that way.
Somebody mentioned that you could host a Tandemonium that day after Formula Drift.
We did have an idea. I think it was Tim or Dayron or somebody. It's probably one of the Cape Coral guys, like Matt or one of them. They're like Tandemonium. Like Tandemonium is best. Like they just want a reckless tandem, you know, hang out with your bro fest. So, I think that would probably be the name of it if we did do it the day after. I'm still trying to work on stuff. You know, I've been really busy with the Palm Beach International stuff, so the Catalina stuff is kind of every other Saturday, which I think we're going to try to squeeze in this Saturday because last Saturday was a rain out for some reason.
Yeah, a lot of people were sort of up in arms about that.
Oh, yeah.
I had nothing to do with that. I just got a call and I just relayed a message. That's all I did. I can't make the track stay open.
It's always interesting how people want to shoot the messenger.
Yep, it's true. I'm like, I can't do anything. Like,
yeah. From what I've heard, it was mainly because of the they didn't want to open up the track and pay the fee that was required.
Yeah, well, the big problem with the track is that Miami-Dade Fire Rescue wants to have Miami-Dade Fire Rescue there. You can't get AMR, you can't get an outside company to do it that works a lot cheaper. So it comes out for a night to be about $1,300. So if there's a chance of rain, you know, they really don't want to put the money out there and they don't show up and lose money. You know, you can't lose money. It costs a lot of money to run Catalina. Especially the drifting end is the cheap end of it. You know, they don't pay us. You know, me and Ed make nothing. We pretty much sacrifice our time and we don't have to deal with anything. You know, the drag strip, you have to deal with their tech guys and they have to deal with everything. You know, we have Brandon and Mitch that do our tech and help us out, and Noel help us out most of the time if he's not sleeping.
Bro, I don't know what you're talking about. I dedicate my life to you, Jackson.
Yeah. You know, and Noel's tech is hilarious, actually. I don't even want to get into that. I have a good story about that.
No, please do. Please do. Please share it with us all.
Yeah, you have plenty of time to kill.
At least one. Come on.
Okay, well, I'll do a short version. Well, I guess Noel's friend came, and he's like, okay, well, you know, I teched him. He's good. And then I see Noel driving the car, like, you know, 15, 20 minutes later. And, like, the steering wheel's, like, falling off the car. And he's like, no, it's good. Pull him down. I'm like, no, you can't drive this anymore. He's like, no, it's good. So then I tell him, like, dude, just stop driving the car. You can't drive the car. Like you know, just finish this. Do whatever. Park the car. So, okay. And then jet trucks were going on, so I had to walk next door to do jet trucks. So I think I left Noel in charge. And then I come back, and then the owner of the car is still driving it, like, in line. I'm like, park the car, man. I'm like, you can't drive this anymore. He's like, well, who do you think you are? I'm like, bro, you just don't drive the car. I'm like, I'm the one who has to take care of this. No, he's like, I gotta drive. I'm like, no. He's like, well, Noel said it's good. I'm like, no, it's not good. Your wheel's falling off. Like, not your steering wheel. You guys, steering wheel was literally like falling off. Like, I don't know. Like, oh, it just needs this. But the tech is just ridiculous at Catalina. Like, we're pretty laid back, but like, I'm sorry, you're not heavy enough that your seat does not need to be bolted down, for one.
Oh, I remember that.
Oh, I'm heavy. The seat's not going anywhere. If you say so. I didn't think that you're just a heavy person, that the seats don't need to be bolted down. I had the same with batteries. Batteries, oh, no, it's heavy. It's not going anywhere.
Oh, that's horrible.
I've seen some really sketchy stuff with tech. They're just people, like, I don't think they want to be safe. I think it's just they want to danger. I have no idea. I can't explain it. I mean, I like, I'm all down for like the sketchiness, you know, like the floppy fenders and stuff like that. But I mean, like, you know, if your seatbelt's got like three threads holding it together, I'm pretty sure like common sense says like, you know, get a new seatbelt.
I know I've seen. I think I've teched one event before, and I've seen a 240. It was an S13. I think it was a coupe that there was one flaw. I didn't pass the dude because of one thing where I saw I was checking his the bolts for the seats, and one of them was so rusted it practically wasn't even bolted on, and the bolt was there. I was like, dude, that's pretty bad.
You know, he had the other three?
He had three rusted out. One was in place.
That's still pretty decent odds for most of the tests that we see. But yeah, some people just they try to skate by. And then like with the whole kill switch deal, I've seen like some people trying to do some like raggedy kill switch designs. And like some of them, like, you know, I see them like when I kill a switch, they turn their key at the same time. Like they think I'm not going to notice. And then like, oh, come on, bro, just let me do this one time. It's been like this forever. That's like the main excuse. It's always been like this. So this guy passed me. I'm like, no, like it doesn't work like that. But you know, that's pretty much that's gonna lead into like the Palm Beach thing. Like tech is gonna be same as counter line for the regular guys, pretty much. But it's gonna be strict. It's not gonna be like, oh, well, you know, if you're missing a lug nut, then you know, just get one next time. Like it's gonna be, it's either on there or you're not driving. But the tandem guys actually have to have it. You know, tandem guys aren't too bad. They know what it's supposed to happen.
Yeah. And
they try to get away with stuff, but we'll catch them.
Well, I think what a lot of people don't know is that it's not just on your end that you have to ensure that these people, they pass tech. But it's also the track that is enforcing or forcing Jackson to be that strict about it.
Yeah. The one thing that we're going to be a lot stricter on is before – if you have like a breather off of your valve cover that's open, like you're gonna have to run that inside of a tank, or you're gonna have to run it back inside the intake. There's not gonna be any, you know, open to atmosphere, you know, breathers, because if the motor lets go or something, it's gonna spit all over a real track. It's not gonna be a parking lot and county line, so that's important. Basically, just like the arm restraint thing comes up a lot, that is gonna be you know, highly recommended for this event. But arm restraints are like $25 on site. You know, they're not expensive. You can wear them, you know, just below your shoulders, and that's technically legal. So, you know, to save your arm, I think $25 is worth it. But, you know, I guess not. You know, I had to wear them doing all pro-am. You know, I hated it, but you get used to it. You get over it. I hate wearing gloves. You know, you can actually see some of my videos. I used to rip off my gloves as soon as I go down the line. But
yeah, I'm not a fan of gloves either.
You know, I mean, like, it's a requirement, you know? I mean, it's... You know, it's not a requirement for Palm Beach this time. You know, I'm not going to make you wear gloves if you really don't want to. You know, if you want to lose a finger, deal with it. You know, I'll take my chances on losing a finger too. You know, if Palm Beach comes down and starts cracking down on me like about something like that, then yeah, I'm going to have to start enforcing it. But I mean, I'll look the other way for gloves. But
yeah, at least you're honest about it.
No, I mean, we want everybody to go out and have fun is what it comes down to. You know, I don't want to have, you know, everybody show up and then, you know, their best friend can't drive because he's missing something, you know, stupid.
Yeah.
You know, fire extinguishers of your tandem, that's going to be a must. And really for solo guys, you should at least have one in your car because the solo guys just seem to catch on fire more than the tandem guys anyway.
Now, what's this I hear about that? You have to have some sort of aluminum. You have to have some sort of aluminum sheet on the
on any car with a fuel cell mounted inside the capacitor compartment. You want to have a firewall. That's why the factory puts a firewall between you and the motor and you and the fuel tank factory. You know, you got to have something just to stop fire. That's a general like rule of thumb for anything with a fuel cell mounted inside the car. You know, that's pretty standard. That's pretty common sense. You know.
Yeah.
That should be like a given, but you know we let some things pass at skid pad just because it's really really low speed and the chances of anything happening, you know, is really really slim. But even at I think it was Three Palms, I seen a Miata flip the other day on Facebook.
Oh yeah,
And DeSoto, I believe
DeSoto, and then the caption read, "This is why we recommend roll bars on convertibles."
Yeah,
I laughed. This is why you should require roll cars on convertibles.
Yeah, it should be required.
You should have said it's why we recommend.
I think what the tech in County Line really like, it serves its purpose by, you know, it just basically enforces the tech this early in this motorsport to just kind of, so that way you get used to it in the bigger tracks like DeSoto and OSW and all these other tracks. You kind of just start getting used to it.
Yeah. I think Pat Gooden actually put up a post on, like, he put, like, some pretty standard tech rules in there, like lug nuts and you must have seat belts and your seat's bolted down, your battery tied down, like, pretty basic stuff. And people were giving him shit about it, and he put, like, a big rant on Facebook. And I just found it hilarious that, like, it's not just us that have to deal with it. Like, the Central Florida guys have to deal with it, too. I think that's really, really funny.
Yeah, but I think back in the day, though, like, with CFRC, they were pretty relaxed or lax when it came down to tech requirements.
Yeah, but you can't say that, because remember when D1 came to, what was it? Like, down there, whatever it was?
Gulfstream.
Gulfstream? Yeah, they had self-tech.
Yeah, no, I remember.
They gave you a piece of paper and said, check off what's good, what's not. Then you had to return it in. So, I mean,
hey,
you know, I mean.
Maybe that's what you should do as well, sir.
Maybe they're just trusting in Japan. Who knows?
Maybe.
I don't know how that works, but, you know.
I mean, maybe it's something that you could implement as well.
Yeah, because then we'd have half a car going on track and stuff. You know, it's cool. We only need 3 wheels. We keep drifting left.
That's too funny. So, any idea as to anything else you can share about the track regarding the track layout?
On Palm Beach, we're going to be drifting we're probably, since the amount of drivers, if we actually have the amount of drivers that registered so far, I think we have about 52 that actually pre-registered. And the pre-register was just to find out an idea of how many people are coming to drive. We're probably going to expect a lot of them to flake out. But the $75 will be at the gate to Palm Beach International. And then we have to – I lost myself. What am I talking about now?
You were talking about Palm Beach, how people have to –
yeah, so the layout – if we do get a lot of drivers, I'm going to try to run run both layouts, like the layout that has been discussed before, like the professional drifting layout and the turn 10 that TurnTech was doing, yeah. Harry was doing. So I'm going to try to incorporate both. We're going to try to have 3 classes, which will be, you know, pretty much 2 amateur classes and 1 tandem class. So you're either going to be appointed to Captain Ben yourself.
Hello.
Or Steve, if you're familiar with Steve, he was the line guy for the last U.S. Drift Circuit event. And then Mitch, which is Mitchell, you know, Brandon's brother. You know, everybody's going to be assigned, like, their team captain, I guess you could say. And then you pretty much just are going to have to follow them, and they'll let you know what time you're on what track. And, you know, we'll kind of keep it rotating and give you guys most seat time as they can. So,
yeah,
we're going to try that. Hopefully that works out good. If it doesn't, then, you know, we're going to come up with a new plan for next time. But I think that should work out fine as long as everybody stays on track. You know, it's only 6 hours for the event, so we really have to try to get everybody as much seat time as we can. And yeah. It's really going to come down to, like, the drivers driving within their means, because the Palm Beach is not very forgiving. It's really high speed, and it's blind. So you throw it in, the charge probably about 60 to 65, I'd say. Probably about a little passion, but going in blind into something you can't see and you've probably never driven before. So, you know, if you keep it together and don't spin out and don't crash, then we'll have more runs. If they don't, then, you know, it's going to ruin it for everybody.
Are there going to be multiple groups running?
Yeah, there's going to be 3 groups.
3 groups, wow.
So we're going to have 1 group in the pits and 2 groups on track at all time if we have enough drivers. If we don't have 30 drivers, I'm going to be pissed off and I'm going to leave. I'm not even – you guys can run it yourself. So, you know, we got 52. So 52 show up. That's great. But if we get less than that, then Florida drifting, as you know, it is done.
Yeah.
You know, everybody wanted this so bad, so we finally got it to happen. So if we don't get the drivers, then, you know, it's really not worth doing anymore if there's no drivers. Everybody else is just complaining for no reason.
Yeah.
And they had way more than enough time to get their car ready. I don't want to hear that, oh, my car wasn't ready, because they've been known about Palm Beach for already, what, a month and a half now? 2 months?
Yeah.
Well, they've had at least 2 months to finish their car, get it together, or whatever. I mean, I don't know how much more time you need than that.
Who knows? Maybe we should quit drifting and get into drag racing.
I want to get into laser tag. I've been wanting to play laser tag so bad lately.
What?
When's the last time you played laser tag, really?
Honestly, I don't remember. A long time ago, though.
Exactly. How fun does this game with laser sound tag or laser tag sound right now?
Laser sound tag. Or just get into ATVs like Mike did.
Yeah, that seems like a more expensive sport. Like I'm into fishing, and fishing is a crazy big expensive sport. I want to
trust me, that shit is not that expensive. And once you buy the bike, like that's it. You're not buying anything else.
And it doesn't break?
Yeah, it does. It barely breaks.
Dude, it's a Yamaha. He bought a Yamaha.
Unless you like severely crash and you're a fucking nut job, you're not going to break it. Especially if you buy one like reliable.
Yamaha.
Stock, yeah. Yamaha.
Yes, Yamaha's the way to go because they partnered with Toyota.
Exactly.
Indeed.
So, that's why I bought it.
That's the only reason why.
That's the only reason why.
Yeah, that's the only reason you should. That's the only reason you need ever. If it says Yamaha, it's probably great, just like Toyota.
Indeed. So what's next for Chris Jackson? Obviously, you have a lot on your plate, both with the shop, with the tracks, with your own personal life. Now that you're working on your pop music album, your musical debut.
So, I'm gonna release a single probably by the end of next month.
Okay. So what else can we expect from Jackson? Obviously, you have a Mockley that there was talked a lot about, but obviously you've had to put that to the side to focus on more important matters.
Yeah, Mockley is definitely something that I really want to go do, just because it just looks like it'll be so much fun. Just because it's like it looks like for a lot of land, and they have like this super awesome go-kart thing that cannot suck, just because it's like a lot of like little toge, like little transitions and stuff like that, which is always fun. And it's hot lappable, so we haven't had someone get hot lap down here in a long time.
Indeed. I honestly don't think we've ever had an event where we could hot lap, like legitimately hot lap.
Yeah, well, we did the Ocala Grand, not Ocala, Miami Grand Prix or Miami, the one Mo did. What was it, Miami Grand Drift?
Yeah, okay.
The one Opelika go-kart track? Yeah. We hot lapped that, and we hot lapped the go-kart track at Palm Beach years ago.
Okay.
And the skid pad at Moroso back in the day.
Really?
Yeah. Remember we used to do the skid pad? That was a long, long, long time ago. That's back when my car was like black and KA.
Okay.
That was like three cars ago.
Oh my.
And then the friends we used to hot lap that back in the day a little bit. Mm-hmm. But it's definitely been years since we've been hot lapping anything.
Yeah.
So
and just to I guess inform the listeners too, is Sun on Life officially out of the question? Is it like off the table, or is it something?
I wouldn't say it's officially out of the question. I mean, anything's always possible. It's just that to do an event to that scale, we just weren't getting enough spectators and sponsors and vendors and whatever we needed to make it work. Like, it was just way too expensive. And you have to pay for literally every little thing that you use and every barrier, every person that comes out there. You have to have cleaning staff and insurance and the barriers and bleachers, and everything just adds up to be a crazy, tremendous expense. So, you know, to that scale, we really need to have big sponsors on board.
Gotcha.
Which we just weren't getting. So, you know, we can work on it later on. Maybe more of an annual thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, that's something later on down the road. We have a lot of events coming up. It's not like we're not having anything to drift on and we're desperate. So, you know, it's when there's events around, nobody really cares, you know? They're like, oh, okay, it's good, and nobody sees the work that goes in it. And once everything's about to come to an end, then everybody's involved and everybody's been drifting for 40 years, and, you know, then everybody wants in on it, so.
Yeah. And I think one of the last things I want to ask you about, this is something that I've had questions about too, and and it's mostly due to the success that you've had with it. When are we going to have another after party hosted by the Chris Jackson?
Oh, man. Already? I think Ben had the most fun out of the whole everything there. Maybe even the most fun ever combined. I think Ben had the most fun.
I wish I could tell you how much fun I had, but unfortunately, I don't remember much of it.
Oh, Ben. You had a blast, just to let you know.
Oh, Ben always.
You had the time of your life.
Ben always has a blast when there's alcohol involved.
Well, I have to thank Chris Jackson for that.
Brandon kept making you drinks. Brandon, like, I don't know. You were just, you were like Frank the Tank. You're like, I don't know.
Frank the Tank. Frank the Tank. Oh, gosh.
I don't know. I mean, probably next year, if we do have a final County Line event, we'll do another one.
Yeah.
Get really reckless, but I don't know. I think that was a good one for the last time.
Oh, definitely, for sure. It was definitely a lot of fun, I'll tell you that much.
Jackson Performance is turning like 6 years old soon.
Oh, my.
So I actually did want to do like some kind of party or something to celebrate because we were supposed to do it for 5 years, but we were busy and we completely forgot. So we might do something big for that. It'll probably be like actually later than it actually has been 6 years, but it'll be like 6 year and like a month or 2 month anniversary. So probably do something big, probably do it in Fort Lauderdale, probably rent out a club or something like when we did with the U.S. Drift Circuit Model Search.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, those were good times.
Yeah, Tim was very dazed and confused at that event.
Yeah, well, I mean, it was awesome. We got you probably left early.
No,
we actually,
go ahead.
You saw go to the under the shower.
No, go. But tell us about that.
Okay, so at America's Backyard in Fort Lauderdale, there's like the shower behind the bar that like they take all the new people that like just start working there, mm-hmm. and they throw them in the shower and they get soaked. So I talked to the guys that helped us organize the work there, and I told them, you know, we want to use the shower. So I asked, like, my phone was dead, and I was like, Tim, let me see your phone. So he gave me his phone. I passed it off to somebody real quick, and, like, me and Harrison and I think Rich and, like, a whole bunch of people, we all grabbed Tim. We throw him in the shower. We get him soaked. And he really didn't get half as bad. I thought he'd get kind of bad, but, like, Tim just, like, kind of just did his little smile and just started laughed it off. So it was hilarious. Probably one of the highlights of my life. Tim is one of my favorite hobbies. So,
yeah, I mean, I notice every single time I see you and Tim together, you always try to heckle him and try to remind him how he drives a chick car.
Oh, he does. Like it's depressing too because you see that car and you're like, man, that girl's got to be so hot, and it's just him.
It's just him.
Oh, that is too funny. That is just too funny. Mike,
he chose.
I'm sorry?
He chose it. You know, he did it to himself.
Yeah, that's true. He did want to be different and stand out.
Yeah, you know, I mean, no comment.
Alrighty then. Mike, any questions from that you have in mind that you want to ask Jackson?
What's up with that original hatch you had with the 2J that you used for Pro-Am?
Oh, the original one, it was crashed pretty bad at CFRC at XDC 1 year, like right behind Chelsea DeNova.
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
That pretty much totaled it out. And then we tried to fix it. I actually bought a shell off of Festival Motorsports back when they were around. And then we pretty much welded the two cars together and did you know, the Formula Drift event in it, and then it just didn't perform well at all. And then we put another car together and took it to Atlanta and had some problems, and then we took it to Palm Beach and put it into the wall at Palm Beach. So that car is just cursed. That car needs to be gone through. Like we literally had like probably like 10 or 15 of us. We put the whole car together in like 4 days, and we brought it out to the skid pad without a windshield, without body panels, like just the basic minimum, like what the car needed to work.
Now, what ended up happening with the drivetrain on that? What happened to the 2J?
It still runs.
It still runs? I'm thinking you want to put that motor in your hatchable.
I want to put a 1J in the hatchable, I think. I want to get some high rev, like, crazy 1J sounding. I want to take my motor out of my race car and build it up to a 3.4.
Okay, stroker 3.4.
Yeah, I want a 3.4 kit in it. And then pretty much just have something nasty and beast-like. But it's just – after driving the hatchable for like a couple months, it's so cheap to like throw some used tires on it and bring it out there and not care and not have like a big expense and all that. It's so nice, not all the maintenance and everything involved in like –
Yeah,
you know, nice car. The crappy car, you just like you just check it, make sure it has enough oil and water, and whatever happens. Like we made the hatchable wide body by my friend's frame machine. We just put it on the frame machine and made rip it wider so I could put big tires under it. he popped all the freaking stock welds, the spot welds on it, and we made it wider. We put big tires under it. It was awesome.
Holy shit!
What?
Oh my god!
Why buy wide body when your friend has a frame machine?
Oh my god, somebody needs to quote that. Yeah. And make a shirt out of it.
Yeah, well, we just chained it down and pulled it real hard until the spot welds broke. And then we're like, okay, that's good enough.
So you
just quote it at the end, Chris Jackson 2014.
Why?
2013 was the first year in like 3 years I didn't win an award.
Oh, that's true.
Yes. What did you win in 2013 or 2012?
2012 was worst crash.
Oh yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh, no. 2012 was worst driver. 2011 was worst crash.
Yeah. Yeah, worst crash because of the that CFRC event.
Yeah.
And then worst driver because of PBIR?
Formula.
I guess so. I nominated myself. I was just happy I won something. You know, then this year, there's nothing good.
Well, at least you didn't win worst judge.
Well, what I didn't understand was, what was it? Worst sandbagger.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
That would actually be, or no, best sandbagger. It was.
It was
best sandbagger.
Yeah, you actually had it right. It was worst sandbagger. But yeah. Then you were arguing that it should be actually retitled Best Sandbagger.
No, it was the other way around.
You sure?
Yeah, it was Best Sandbagger. And I'm like, you're not good at it if you get caught. Like, so he's like technically the worst sandbagger.
You sure?
Yeah, I'm sure. I'm
trying to find it now. Oh, yeah, Best Sandbagger. Yeah.
It is Best Sandbagger because technically he would be the worst sandbagger because he's getting caught every time.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah,
when you're the best one, you don't get caught.
that's a good point. But yeah, you seem to be referring to Gabriel Morales.
Yeah, that was a tough. That was pretty tough. It was like an ongoing battle between Gabriel Morales and Gabriel Morales.
No, I can't believe he was fighting against himself for that title.
Yeah, no. This Gabriel Morales got 12, and Gabriel Morales got 10. That was pretty close.
Oh boy. So, Jackson, is there anything else you'd like to inform us about or inform everybody about?
I don't know. Make sure you come out to Palm Beach the 14th. You know, come drive. Have fun. Don't be afraid to, like, drive your car if it's your first time. You know, we're here to help on skid pads and all that. So,
well, actually, I just remember something as you were talking about this, because it seems like there's a lot of people that pre-registered that seem to be beginners to not only drifting, but to that track as well. What do you have to say about that?
They have to drive within their means. You know, you have to take things slower and don't try to go out and kill it your first run and crash the car. You know, we don't want to see people crash the car. It's not fun. You know, it just makes you not drift more. And, you know, don't have kids. Use a rubber. You know, that's another reason why I love like, between crashes and, you know, kids, like, at least half the drifters die out every year.
I believe you.
I just can't believe this. You turned it into a PSA for abstinence.
I'm not saying abstinence. I'm just saying, you know, you got to... I'll put your raincoat on.
No glove, no love.
Exactly.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, because I noticed that.
Don't believe her. When she says she's on a pill, don't believe her. They all say that.
Oh boy, life lessons from Chris Jackson.
Unless you see her take it every day, you know, you miss a day, it's done.
Yeah, but then what if she gets
even then, I still wouldn't trust those pills.
Yeah, because she could get like
trying to get seriously into drifting. Like, you got to do what you got to do. You know, it's not as cool. You know, doesn't feel as good, but you got to do what you got to do.
Yeah. But yeah, even then, like as Mike was saying, I wouldn't even trust it because you could get similar looking pills, I would imagine.
I mean, yeah, then that means she's crazy if she's lying to you, taking like M&Ms.
Well, no, I don't mean it that way. I mean, I don't trust the pills themselves, even if they do take so-called birth control pills. I still don't think that's enough control. Huh?
What was that?
They have those little patches now.
Patches?
Well, yeah, I've seen those. Even with those, I still don't even trust it. I would still wrap it.
Yep. So that's a group decision right there. Even if a pill patch, you know, it's rubber, guys.
Still wrap it up.
Yeah. And on that note, I believe that marks the end of the podcast. I want to thank everybody in for listening. I also want to thank Chris Jackson, world famous Chris Jackson, taking time out of his busy schedule to join us and answer some questions that all of us had. And also want to thank Mike for joining us again. Don't want to thank at all Noel Garcia, who apparently was too tired to do this podcast.
Bro, I was working all day. I don't have time for this. I need to go to sleep.
Pretty much, it took the words out of my mouth as to what happened.
I don't think we ever heard a good Noel story from Ben on the podcast. Because he's always around. I think I'm for a good Noel story.
Well, I mean, you don't have a good Noel story either. You were talking about how he failed it up doing tech.
Okay. At least I had a story. You don't have a story?
We do. We've talked about his escapades with love.
The lady friend?
Yeah, the lady friend in Tampa.
That was a different podcast episode.
Oh, you want new material?
We need to stay up to date on Noel. He doesn't tell us anything.
Oh, he doesn't tell you anything?
His job situation, his love life, his sex life.
Well, apparently he's...
This is why we need to go live. If we get live, we can have Noel call in right now as a caller.
Gosh.
Stop talking about me, guys.
Well, unfortunately, he's sleeping right now. So there's no way he would have called. But in any case, we'll talk more about Noel next episode. Maybe not.
Do a tribute to Noel podcast.
Yeah, we'll have him as the
song. I'll make the song.
Yes, please. Wait, do.
Hold on. Can you guys hear this? Hold on.
Yes. Can you hear that? Yes, we can.
Hit the bong.
Yeah, Liz is knocked out.
Oh boy.
She's just snoring right next to me.
It's nice of you to put your significant other on blast at the internet.
Oh, wait. Yeah, I totally forgot we were still recording.
Yeah. In any case, let's go ahead and wrap things up. Thank you all for listening in, and we'll catch you next time.
Take it easy.
Everybody, thank you. Thank you for having me.
All right.
All right. Peace.